Him here in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's celebrate all those that are serving out here in the house. Come on, let's celebrate them serving out there, serving our kids, serving out in the parking lot. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, today is the finale of Acceleration Message Series. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And on the first week, we talked about the speed of trust. On the second week, we talked about the speed of mentorship. Last week, we talked about the speed of partnership. And today, we're going to talk about the speed of originality. Let's say that together, the speed of originality. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you're in for a treat. Before I go into preaching here, I'd like to honor a great man of God. He works for this school here, but he's retiring. Matter of fact, today is his last job working for this school. But I'll tell you this, this church would not be what it is today if it wasn't for his life and his ministry and how God has used him to be positioned strategically and spiritually positioned in this church to be an ambassador and an envoy for the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I want to honor Bobby and his wife here today. Bobby, please stand. Come on, let's put our hands together. Impact like never before. Come on, let's celebrate this man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's been used by God. He's been used by God. Amen. Please, when you see him in the lobby, I want you guys to mug him with hugs and celebrate him and just please thank him on our behalf. Amen. Let's celebrate this man of God. One more time. Let's put our hands together. Wonderful. Well, last week we ran out of books. As you know, this message series is based on my book. And 100% of the proceeds from this book are going to a baby shower that we're doing this summer. We're excited about it. If you want to hear more information about this baby shower, please go to the Welcome Center. If you want to donate and give, please go to the Welcome Center as well. But we ran out of books actually last weekend. But I've got good news for you. We've got some more books today. So if you didn't get a chance to buy a book, you have the opportunity to do so. Amen. If you got a book, you have the opportunity to get a second book. If you bought two, you have the opportunity to get a third book. If you bought three, you have the opportunity to get four books and bless people so we can be able to do this baby shower here and bless many people. Amen? Somebody say amen. Well, last day was also day one of the School of Acceleration. We had some 20 people who came up to this small group. If you want to hear more about this group, please come out. I'm determined to train leaders in this house. Leaders, not just in ministry, but in the marketplace as well. Amen. So you can sign up at the table. Come, it's a round table style. We're going to talk about your vision and help you how to get from point A to point B so you can live out your God-given purpose in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Well, somebody say next week. Come on, Impact Church. Somebody say next week. There we go. Come on, wake somebody up. Wake somebody up. Knock them a little bit. Amen. Next week, we're starting a new message series entitled Signal. Somebody say Signal. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor just one time and say, do you have Signal? Do you have network? Can you hear me now? I feel like for some of us, God is up there saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No, God, I'm too busy. Can you hear me now? Next week, we're going to talk about the art of hearing the voice of God. It's one thing that a lot of believers still don't know how to do. If you know how to hear the voice of God, it'll change your family. It'll change your life. It'll change your future. Somebody say amen. I met a young man one time who said to me, hey, man, Pastor, I'm going to France. I said, wow, God told you to go to France. He said, Pastor, I was driving the other day, and the car in front of me had a sticker, a bumper sticker that said France. So God is speaking to me. I'm supposed to go to France. So I said, dude, what's going to happen tomorrow if you're driving and you see a car that says Baghdad, Afghanistan? Are you going to say God's telling you to go to Afghanistan? A lot of times when people say, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, I found it's not always God. It's their emotions. It's what they want. We're going to learn to hear the voice of God in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're going to clap, do it well. Do it for Jesus. Do it for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're talking about the speed of originality. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. Take a pen, a paper, find a phone. We're going to go into a teaching anointing in this place. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read this together. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Let's also read Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Somebody say, that's good news. That's good news. Every boy wants to be like their dad. I went through a season in my life where I wanted to do everything just like my father. I made myself walk just like my father, literally forced myself and just made myself walk like him. I made myself talk like him, and made myself have a voice just like him. And it used to irritate my siblings. They're like, dude, quit pretending. Quit doing that stuff. It's annoying. Just stop doing that. My father writes with his left hand. Any lefties here in the building? I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. But I'm right-handed. Naturally, I'm right-handed. So I started forcing myself to write like my father just so I can be like him. And my siblings were like, dude, that's annoying. Why don't you just quit that? Just stop that. And one day, my younger brother, Michi, said to me, Zenzo, if you truly are left-handed, why are you writing with your left but eating with your right? And I was like, busted. The next day, I woke up and I quit writing with my right hand and I started writing with my left. I was doing bad in school. I was delayed in my homework and just wasn't panning out because I was doing something that was not my original design. I was pretending. The next day I woke up and I said, guys, I'm done. I'm done pretending. I'm going to go back to my original design. And I'm going to write using my right hand because this is what I was born to do. Impact, I want you to know that being original and focusing on what comes naturally to you is one of the greatest secrets of acceleration. Being original and focusing on what God has given you naturally is one of the greatest secrets of acceleration. Matter of fact, the opposite to that is true. Not being authentic and focusing on things that don't come to you naturally is one of the greatest enemies of acceleration. You have to embrace who God has created you to be because God never makes any mistakes. Somebody say amen. I want to give you a tweet here, Impact. You are at your very best when you are yourself. You are at your very best when you are yourself. Impact, I want to say this to you. Please be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Impact, you were born an original. Refuse to die a duplicate. Refuse to die as somebody else. I'd rather be a first me, a first best me, than be a second best somebody else. Be original. God doesn't make mistakes. That's why the scripture we read here is so powerful. Let's go to that again. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I want you to know that before your mother and your father went on a date, God knew you. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. He had a plan for your life. You are here by design. Some of you were born to teenage moms. Some of you were born to parents who told you you were an oops baby. We were not planning on you. You shouldn't have been here. I don't care what anybody says. I want you to know that you're here by God's design, and God's going to fulfill your destiny here on the earth, and the enemy cannot do anything about it in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, I am an original. You are an original. I love the scripture here. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. It says, the very hairs of your head, wow, are all numbered. God knows you so much, he's literally numbered every hair that you have. Every hair you've ever had, past, present, or future, God has numbered it. He knows it by name, including my pastor here, including myself. I know some of you are saying, not so much him. Including me, God knows all the numbers of the hair in my head. Come on, somebody say amen. This amazes me. This is fascinating that God knows you by name. I want you to take a moment and just think about this. God knows you. God knows you. How would you feel if somebody said, the Queen of England knows you by name, and they're calling for you? Well, somebody greater than the Queen of England knows you, and his name is Jesus. Come on, somebody has to be encouraged in this place. God knows you. He loves you. He loves you. He's not out to get you. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. So impact, I want to give you three reasons why people fail to be original. Three reasons why people fail to be original. Number one, people fail to be original because they're misguided by one-time events. Misguided by one-time events. I want to take time here and just appreciate. I'm looking at young people. I'm looking at so many people all the way up there. Everybody writing. Come on. Let's just put our hands together and appreciate everybody for being a student of the Bible. Amen. They're misguided by one-time events. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 10 to 13. I'm going to read. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets. Somebody say group. There was a group of prophets to meet him. They're talking about King Saul. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people say to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? We know that Saul was a king. There was a group of prophets that came to be with the king. And all of a sudden, for the first time ever, King Saul opened up his mouth and he began to prophesy. He had never done it before. He began to prophesy. But I want to go to verse 13 here, and it says, and when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. In other words, when he had finished doing this one thing that he had never done before, he was wise enough to go back to his office. He was wise enough to go back to the high place. I want you to know that because you've done something once doesn't mean it's your calling. Many people are misguided because they end up doing something one time and then they say to themselves, maybe this is what I was called to do. I'll never forget the first time I ever played the game of golf. I was out there in the field. God is calling that brother over there. I'll never forget one time, the first time ever that I went to play golf. Any golfers in the house here? Any golfers? Not too many. It's a young church. It's a young church. Well, I'm young too, but I love to play golf. Timmy likes to play golf over there. But the first time I ever played golf, I was so good. I was hitting those balls just bam. First time ever. People were looking at me like, man, what are you doing? People were stopping to play their own game, and they were just watching me like, wow, is that guy a professional? And they were asking, who is he? Who is he? I was like, yes, the African Tiger Woods right here. Come on, somebody. I was hitting them balls, man. The guy I was playing with had been playing for a long time. He's like, dude, you've got a gift. We went back to the clubhouse. We had a burger, and everybody was just like, man, do you play professionally? I was like, no, I don't. Matter of fact, this was my first time. They're like, what? You should consider doing this professionally. Man, you've got a gift. You African brothers gifted, man. So you got a gift. And I remember thinking for once, man, maybe I could do this. And one of the guys said, brother, you could make millions doing this. When I heard millions, I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is it. This is it right here. This is God right here. And then I went back home. Thank God for a lovely wife. She said to me, honey, you just did this one time. You get too excited about things too quickly. You just did this one time, and you think you're called to do this? You think you were supposed to do this professionally? She said, no, honey. Why don't you go back, play some more, and then see if you're really called to do this thing? I went back the second time. Worst game ever. Went back the third time. It was worse than the last one. I thought to myself, okay, maybe I had two bad ones. Let me try again. And tried it again. Worst one ever. Last time I was playing with a gentleman from this church. His name is Ray Jones. And I played my worst game ever. I was so embarrassed. I wanted to impress this brother so much. You know, you play with somebody who calls you pastor. I wanted to impress him. Have you found out when you're trying to impress people, it's worse. It's terrible. It's just so bad. Man, I was like whacking those balls. It was so bad. And every time I'd hit a bad ball, I'd look at him and he would say, preacher, it's okay. You still have your daytime job. Come on, you still have your job. At least you're still a preacher. But most people are misguided because they do something once well. Because you were able to do something well once does not mean that's your original calling in life. You need to establish a track record of productivity first before considering something your original call. Because you sang well at your auntie's wedding once, excited, does that mean you need to quit your job and become a singer? Please don't go to American Idol. Because you did something, because you advised somebody well, because you did something well one time, somebody shout one time, does not mean it's your original call. You need to establish a track record of productivity. That's one of the reasons why people are misguided. One of the reasons people walk away from their original calling. Number two, the reason people fail to be original is because they're enticed by associations. Enticed by associations. The Bible says that the prophets, the group of prophets came to King Saul. And all of a sudden he begins to prophesy. He wasn't prophesying because it was a calling inside of him. He was prophesying because the association that was around him was enticing him. You have to know that the people that are around you have the power to influence your direction in life. That's why you have to be careful the people you have around you. They will influence you to do stuff that you don't want to do. I want to speak to young people, especially in this place. Be careful who you make your friends. Somebody say amen. You're going to find yourself doing things you never thought you could do because your association has the power to influence you. You find yourself dancing in places, doing stuff, and going to places you never imagined you could go, becoming rebellious, doing things you never thought you could do. And it's because of your association. Impact because everyone else is doing it does not mean it's the plan of God for your life. This is where most people miss it. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's going there. And everybody's going there. And everybody's going there. Has God spoken to you to go in that place? Has God spoken to you to shift? Has God told you to do that? Or are you simply doing it because everybody else is doing it? If you do it and it wasn't God, it will never be profitable for you. You waste your time. Most people are enticed by friends. They go into a direction because of friends. I remember when I was younger, I would go to the dentist and then I'd come home and say, this is what I was supposed to do. I'd make my parents open their mouth. Dad, open your mouth. Let me work on you. And then I'll go to the bank. Dad, this is what I was supposed to do. I want to be a banker. And I'll hang out with kids who are playing sports, playing soccer. Oh, this is what I was supposed to do. This is what I want to do. Thank God I never pursued sports. I was called to be a musician, called to be a preacher. You've got to ask yourself the question, has God really called you to do what you're doing, or you just did it because you were influenced by friends? Especially some of you that are coming from families that pursue the same profession all the time. Because your dad was a doctor, it doesn't mean you're supposed to be a doctor. Come on, somebody. I remember a time when all the Africans I knew were going into nursing. I remember a time when all the Brazilians I knew were cleaning houses. I remember a time when every young Brazilian I knew was nannying, because everybody else is a nanny. It doesn't mean you're supposed to be a nanny. You may supposed to go to a business school and study business. Don't do what other people are doing. Do what God has called you to do. Somebody shout hallelujah. Ask yourself, am I doing this because everybody is doing it? And then number three, people fail to pursue originality because they're influenced by atmospheres. Influenced by atmospheres. The atmosphere shifted when the prophets came. There's something about atmospheres that will inspire you to do something you've never done before. Atmospheres have the power to influence you to do something you've never done before. You have to check if it's you who's operating, if it's you who's performing, or simply the atmosphere. I want to give you this statement here. The true test of an original calling is if you have the ability to produce in all atmospheres. In all atmospheres. Here's another statement I want to give you that's powerful. If you're only functioning because of your atmosphere, you will not be able to sustain productivity after the atmosphere has dissipated. If you're only able to sing because your family is around you and everybody's cheering you on, you may not be able to do that when you go somewhere else. And some people sometimes are just motivated by atmospheres. You have to check, is this just the atmosphere motivating me, or is this God speaking to me? Last week, my wife and I, we went to a party somewhere, and we greeted this guy who was a friend of my wife's brother. And the guy was so shy, so quiet, just really shy, really quiet. We greeted him, but the brother was over there on the other side. He was just drinking a bottle of beer one after the other. I'm thinking, man, this brother's having a little too much to drink. 3 hours later, this guy's like, hey, how you guys doing? Michelle and Zenzo, did you know I've got a scar in my behind? I want to show it to you. I'm like, no, brother, keep the scar to yourself. I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, man, what's going on with this guy? My wife's parents were so embarrassed. They were apologizing to us. What happened? That drink shifted the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, here's a guy who's so shy. And he's acting in boldness. He's not himself. It's just the atmosphere. Have you found your original call, or are you just functioning based on your atmosphere? Are you a thermometer, or are you a thermostat? A thermostat shifts atmospheres. A thermometer simply reads atmospheres. It simply changes itself to align itself with what's happening in the atmosphere. I declare in this church right now that the people of this church are going to be ones that are led by the Spirit of God and not just their environments, in the name of Jesus. And that you're going to be a people that shift atmospheres in the name of Jesus. You're going to go into your family and you're not going to do the things that everybody else is doing there. You're going to shift that family in the name of Jesus. You're going to go into a place where everybody's broke, where everybody doesn't know Jesus, but because you're there, you're going to shift that atmosphere. You're not going to allow that atmosphere to shift you in Jesus' name. So Impact Church, as we finish here, I want to give you three things you need to do in order to develop originality. Three things you need to do in order to develop originality. Number one, you need to discover your niche. You need to find your grace area. What's your grace area? Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I set you apart to be a prophet. I set you apart to do something. I set you apart for a specific purpose. I set you apart to do a particular thing. Have you discovered the thing God created you to do on earth? Because that's where your acceleration is going to be. It says, I set you apart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given to you. Have you discovered your grace area? Impact, I want to teach you something called the 101% principle. The 101% principle simply means you need to find one thing that you're really good at, and you need to give that one thing 100% of yourself. Got to discover your grace area. What's the thing that God has put inside of you that nobody else has? What is that one thing that God gave you? Because you're going to be the most creative when you function in your grace area. You're going to be the most confident when you function in your grace area. You're going to be the most persistent when you function in your grace area. You're going to have the most authority when you function in your grace area. You're going to be in most acceleration when you function in your grace area. Have you discovered your grace? Have you discovered the one thing that God has called you to do? Well, Pastor, how do I discover it? How do I know this is the one thing? How am I supposed to know this? I don't know what my purpose is in life. Well, I've got four questions for you. What is the one thing that comes easily and naturally for you? You've got to ask yourself this question. What comes easily and naturally for me? Here's another question. If all my needs were met, what's the one thing I'd still be passionate about doing? If all my needs were met. Jessica, I just deposited $1 billion into your bank account right now. You and Paul and Aiden and baby girl and the new baby will never have to work for money again. What's the one thing that would still cause you to wake up to do? What's that one thing? That's the thing God wants you to do. Here's another question. What is the one thing that consistently produces results for me? What is the one thing that consistently produces results for me? Number four, what's the one thing that has gradually become evident to all? People can see it. She is good at that thing. He is good at that. When he does the thing, nobody else does it like them. It's evident to everybody. That's your grace area. Some of you need to talk to your parents. Talk to the people around you. What is the one thing you've seen me do that has consistently produced? What is the one thing you've seen me do that has become evident that I'm good in this thing? Number two. Paul is hooking it up over there. Thank you, Paul. Here's the second thing you need to do in order to pursue originality. You need to focus on your strength. It's one thing to discover your grace area. It's another thing to begin to focus in that area and work hard. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Those that are diligent, those that are hardworking. You've got to work hard. It's one thing to discover the grace area. Please write this down. Discovering your niche is just the first step in the process. Hard work is what seals the deal. Discovering your niche is just the beginning. That's just the foundation. What builds the building is hard work. It says that Michael Phelps practices for 6 hours every day. 6 days a week he practices. It says that Michael Jordan was the first one on the court. And he was the last one. Even though he discovered that this was his grace area. Everybody knows Michael Jordan was born to do this one thing. It says that he was the first and the last. He put in work. He was hardworking. I'm praying for a hardworking generation. We don't know how to work hard anymore. Come on, somebody. We live in this MTV Cribs generation that thinks you just make $1 million doing nothing. Come on. It takes hard work. It's one thing to discover your calling in life, but then you've got to put in time. You've got to work hard. Somebody say hallelujah. I was 5 years old when I was called into the ministry. A prophet put me on his lap, and he said, count. How many fingers in this hand? And I say, five. How many fingers? Five. He put out his hands. How many fingers? Five. How many fingers? Five. He said, how old are you? I said, five. He said, you will always remember this day that you were called to be a preacher. God has called you to be a preacher. And I never forgot that because he made me count my fingers. But even though I knew that I was called into the ministry, I've had to work hard. I've had to pray. I went through my 20s. I'm telling you, I went through my 20s not hanging out, not just going everywhere with everybody, because I knew I had the call of God on my life. I used to take 3 days every month, no food, no water, crying out to God, fasting and praying. I'm still doing it today. I'm praying like I've never done before today, crying out to God because I want to see God move in this place, and I want to see God do some things that no man can do in the name of Jesus. I want to see God heal bodies in the way that no doctor on earth can heal. I want to see God shift marriages and heal marriages in a way that no lawyer can fix. I want to see God do something more than just the words of men. I want to see the demonstration of the power of the living God. I want to see people come in this place in wheelchairs and walk out healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody help me out in this place. I want to see a move of God. I want to see God raise up evangelists. I want to see God raise up apostles. I want to see God raise up millionaires in this house that are going to finance the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. I'm praying like I've never done before. Impact, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your babies. I'm praying for your wives. I'm praying for your families. You missed a good place to put your hands together and celebrate. You missed a good place to say, Pastor, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to sit and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to do something I've never done before. Even though we know God has called us to do what we're doing here at Impact Church, we've got to fight for it. The devil is not just going to let us have it. We've got to fight for it. You've got to fight for the call of God on your life. You've got to fight for your children. Come on. Even though you know that God's raised up your children, God's given you those children, you've got to call them by name and pray for them and say, you're going to be used by God. I refuse for your life to be taken. God's going to use you. God's going to change you. Even those kids that have left home, you've got to fight for them. Don't give up and say, you're coming back home. God's going to bring you back home. You're going to serve God. You shall live and not die in Jesus' name. After you've discovered the grace that God's given you in a particular area, you've got to fight for it. You've got to focus on that strength. You've got to pray. I'm working hard like I've never done before. And not just with prayer. I'm loving my wife like I've never done before. I'm hanging out with my wife like I've never done before. I'm romancing my wife like I've never done before. I cannot come and preach here and neglect my wife all week. Come on, those days of those crazy preachers are gone in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. I cannot come here and preach and neglect my kids. I'm playing basketball every single time I can. Probably play basketball 5 times this week, playing with my kids, reading for my kids, praying for my kids. Not a day I go to sleep without stopping by their room and laying hands on them and praying for them. I'm praying like I've never done before. I'm working like I've never done before. I know God's given us grace to do a great thing in this place, but we've got to fight for it. Come on. I want to see some fighters in this place. I came to release some fighters in this place. Come on. I came to start a revolution of fighters in this place. I want to see somebody who's ready to fight for the supernatural, fight for the will of God. Come on, don't quit on your children. Don't quit on your marriages. Come on, I'm ready to see somebody in this place who's ready to fight for the marriages of Impact Church. Fight for the marriages of Impact Church and say, we refuse divorce in the name of Jesus. There cannot be any divorce in this house. We will fight for what God's given us. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Stand if you can. Stand if you can. Hallelujah. I'm ready to fight for what God's given me. I'm ready to fight for the miraculous. After you've discovered the grace, you've got to fight and work hard. I release an anointing in this place, Impact Church. We're going to be a people of health. Come on, somebody. We're going to be a people of health. We're going to see God raise up a church in New England where there are no scandals. Come on. Where young people love God for real. Hallelujah. That's what we play, some crazy music here without reservation, because this is where we want you to dance, not out there in the nightclubs. Come on, somebody. Yes, I say it. Come on. We want to see young people who are passionate for God, living for God in the house of God. There's nothing for you out there. Come on, I have decided to follow Jesus, not turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, I have decided to follow Jesus. I make a proclamation to follow Jesus. And then lastly, impact. You have to focus on your uniqueness. You have to focus on your uniqueness. Become unapologetic about being yourself. Don't ever say sorry to anybody for being yourself. Stop apologizing to people for being yourself. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please forgive my African self, but I'm not going to change who I am. I'm rambunctious. I'm loud. I love to celebrate Jesus. I've come a long way. Come on, somebody. I've come a long way. God's done some things in my life. I should be dead right now, but God's kept me. I'm a miracle. I'm a walking miracle. I'm a walking billboard. Please excuse my celebrating self. Please excuse my shouting self. Excuse my crazy, loud self. God's done some things in my life, and I cannot keep my mouth shut. I have to open up my mouth and celebrate Jesus. Come on, somebody celebrate in this place. Psalms 139 says, 139, 13 to 14. It says, you made me all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Come on, put your shoulders up and say, thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, can't touch this. You can't touch this. I'm unique. I'm special. I'm an original. You've never seen this before. The reason you can't understand me is because there's never been any me, past, present, or future. So please don't try to put me in a box. I'm special. I'm original. Please don't put me. Don't confine me. God's doing something in me. And he says, your workmanship is marvelous. Ah, come on. This is not crazy stuff. This is not heresy. David is saying, your workmanship is marvelous. He's talking about himself. He says, the way you worked on my body, the way you worked on my body, it's marvelous. Somebody shout, I am marvelous. Come on, some of you have never heard this before. Come on, say, I am marvelous. This is not pride. This is celebrating the God who's done a great work inside of you. I am marvelous. And he says, how well I know it. This is not pride. But I know I'm marvelous. I know I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. I know who I am. I know who I am. Thank God for everybody. Thank God for what God is doing. But you've never seen Zenzo like Zenzo before. Come on, somebody. You've never seen Femi like Femi before. There's never been another Tim. Come on, somebody. Never been another Juan. Hallelujah. Never been another Adriel. Never been another Jen. Never been another Jalen. Tyler. Linton and Paul, come on, there's never been another you. Be yourself and celebrate what God is doing inside of you. You are victorious, you are prosperous. It doesn't matter what anybody's saying about you. God says you are marvelous. Somebody shout hallelujah.